The price of parenthood goes up by the year. Recent estimates say parents spend more than $10,000 a year on food, diapers, and clothes. For some people, inflation is an annoyance. For working parents with a limited income, the rising price of childcare can be an economic backbreaker. I'm WBBM News Radio's Rob Hart. This week, we learn about an organization that provides a helping hand to low-income and homeless parents. Dawn Melchiori and Janine Thomas of Cradles to Crayons are my guests on At Issue.
The history of the organization is somewhat complex because it got its start in Boston decades ago, but you are celebrating your 10th anniversary in Chicago. So talk about your story of growth in the city since its establishment.
Yeah, so we were established in 2016. As the third outlet for Cradles to Crayons nationally. And we started because a group of very civic-minded individuals and corporations had seen the model, understood what the need is in the Chicagoland area, and raised significant amount of dollars in order to invest so that we could open in Chicago in 2016. And what they knew is that Chicago, while it has some fabulous institutions and it's a great city, we also have a lot of concentrated childhood poverty. And that one in two children in the Chicagoland area are suffering from low-income situations, and that there was something that needed to be done. And this group put together an amazing team and brought us into Chicago. And since then, we have continued to grow from a very small organization that distributed just around 50,000 items a year to last year, we distributed just over 2.4 million.
And what is the mission of Cradles to Crayons?
So at Cradles to Crayons, what we are tackling is what we call clothing insecurity, which means that children do not have regular access to the clothing and basic essential items they need to thrive. And our role in that is that we collect gently used clothing, shoes, coats, brand new school supplies, diapers, hygiene products, collect them, sort them, and then distribute them to our network of about 80 service partners throughout the city and suburbs. And all of that goes out for free.
Cradles to Crayons had been around in Philadelphia and Boston before coming to Chicago. What did you learn about donations or distribution in setting it up in the other cities that really allowed you to hit the ground running once you got to Chicago in 2016?
So our founder started the organization when she was young and she was going through her niece's closet. And she noticed that there were a lot of clothing items that still had tags on them that she had already outgrown. And it was like, okay, so what are we going to do with this? And she had worked in systems and knew that there were a lot of children who were in need. So she literally put two and two together and said, I think that there's an opportunity here to be able to provide individuals with a place to donate clothing and to volunteer, as well as for us to be able to help families and children who are in need of these items. And so it really grew out of that. And kind of our key, we like to call it our secret sauce, is what we call our giving factory, which is our warehouse. And there we focus on not just telling the story of what our mission is, but we also focus on volunteerism. So children 5 and older volunteer with us. And so one of the secrets we talk about all the time is that we have families that come all the time. We have generational families who came. We now have, because we've been around 25 years, children who grew up going volunteering, now bringing their children to volunteer. And that for us has been kind of the differentiator between a lot of other organizations and what we do. Our mission is very clear, exactly what we do, and we engage communities to help us in our mission.
Now, Janine, I want to ask you about just the need in the Chicago area, because some studies say that parents will pay $20,000 to buy childcare items in that child's first year of life. Mm-hmm. Because of persistent inflation, that number goes up by the year. For quite a few people, those price increases can be insurmountable.
Absolutely.
And that the choice then becomes, do I pay rent or do Do I pay for clothes for my child? Do I pay for essential supplies? So what is the state of need in Chicago right now?
I would say it's very similar to what you just explained. We actually just did a research study recently, our impact team, where we worked with families and heard their testimonies where they actually share with us that, yes, clothing is a priority for us. It is something that we know we need. But if I have to choose between going to get food or housing or financial assistance over going to another location to secure clothing for my family, I'm going to choose food. I'm going to choose housing. So it puts our families in this predicament where they have to choose between something that is a necessity for their children. We also know that children miss school when they don't have the appropriate attire. So if it's too cold to go out, they don't have a winter coat, mom or dad isn't going to send them to school. So that is the nature of the situation here, even for our families in Chicago. We are not exclusive in that all of our children and families are just well taken care of. We know that we have children and families that are in need, and we hear that from them, directly from the families that are working with our service partners.
And we're talking about children who may come from not only low-income family situations, but also students who are homeless.
Correct.
And describe that for us.
So we work with CPS largely, and CPS alone has a specific department working with children that are living in transitional housing. So imagine that. Our major school system has to have a program specifically designated where they have hundreds of advocates that are working to connect resources to those children and those families to make sure that they can just get through school so that they can graduate or just get to the next grade. A lot of the times that's the focus. Yes, we want to see them get to graduation through high school, but a lot of times we have to focus in on how do we just get them to the next day, the next week, or the next season. And so CRADLES, we offer a lot of variety and flexibility for our partners to work with us in a way that makes sense for the families that they're serving.
Now, what is the difference, though, especially when it comes to making sure that children who are in these situations, that they have the right and appropriate clothing for all seasons? How does this differ from a Salvation Army or a Goodwill or other discount shops that do take gently used clothing for children?
So I wouldn't say that it differs seasonally, right? Like Salvation Army and Goodwill will definitely swap out their clothing to match the appropriate weather, which is what we do as well. In our warehouse, we will flip over clothing to make sure that it matches the appropriate season we're in. I think the difference is simply that we're doing all of this at no cost to the children or their family. So the mom or dad doesn't have to choose between even the $5 pair of pants at Goodwill or Salvation or car fare, transit fare to get to and from work that day. It's as simple as that. I think we make an assumption with where our clothing goes when we donate it, that it's immediately going to get into the hands of a family that needs it simply because it's at a reduced price than what you or I would pay for at a regular retail store. But sometimes that decision does really come down to the dollar. And that's the biggest difference between what CRADLES is doing versus what another, you know, organization like Salvation Army or Goodwill is doing. All of this is done at no cost.
And as we talk about some of the price pressures, especially for low-income parents, you could find yourself in a situation where both parents are working and it just simply can't cover the ever-increasing cost of life. And that's before you factor into the cost of childcare because both parents are working. I mean, I think it's very difficult to raise a child in this country and in this world, even under the best of circumstances.
Correct. One of our service partners actually shared with us that the average household income that was needed in their county for a family to live comfortably was $90,000 a year. So both mom and dad, like you stated, could be working, making $45,000-$50,000 before taxes. What they're actually bringing home is nowhere near $90,000. So I also think there's an assumption that the children or families that are utilizing our product are non-working or that they are absolutely houseless and not trying, that these are people who, you know, either can't make the right decisions or just are down on their luck. And a lot of the families that are receiving these items are working families. It is just that tough for them to make those ends meet.
You're listening to At Issue on WBBM News Radio. We are talking about the mission of Cradles to Crayons with Executive Director Dawn Melchiori and Janine Thomas, Director of Partnerships and Engagement at Cradles to Crayons. One thing that is really obvious when it comes to working families who are trying to make ends meet is that there are so many elements of the social safety net, especially on the government side, that are designed to make you feel bad. There are just so many paperwork hoops and bureaucratic hoops that someone in a program has to jump through that also double as humiliation rituals. So how does your organization work to lift up the people who need it?
It's actually one of the things I love the most about what we do. We do not require even our service partners to have a certain level of reporting standards to us. So we don't require that they collect income for the families that they're serving or any specific details, honestly, about the families that they're serving. We ask them to do one annual survey a year, and that's really to assess their experience with us, not to evaluate the worthiness of the communities that they're serving. Also, like Dawn mentioned earlier, communities are rooted in what we're doing. We cannot do and fulfill our mission without community itself. So we invite the community into our giving factory to participate. We have service partners that host drop-off bins and locations for donations to come through as well. So we've really figured out a model and an ecosystem that isn't reliant upon government or federal assistance. So there's no need to make anyone feel less worthy. We really truly believe in dignity and that our families and our partners feel dignified in their experience.
And then you mentioned that there were some studies before about just the nature of need. And how robust is your ecosystem, or at least in designing the mission of Cradles to Crayons to take into account the mental health of the people that you're serving? Because if you are a child under these circumstances where you have two low-income working parents, or you may be in a transitional situation, that trauma of knowing that you're the poor kid, that can stay with you for the rest of your life. And conversely, that can also really weigh on parents who feel that they are not being good providers for their children or for their families. So does your organization, Cradles to Crayons, does that take that mental health component into account?
I would say so.
Absolutely. And you know what? I think the way, so one of the things we talk about as our values is quality equals dignity. And what that means is that when a piece of item, something comes into our warehouse, it is quality checked three times to very specific standards. Because we want to ensure that whatever goes out is something we tell our volunteers that you would wear or you would be happy to have your child, your grandchild, your niece or nephew wear. And then we talk about dignity as choice. Because it's not just that we're providing these clothing, but we're also encouraging our service providers to allow the children, to allow the families to come in and choose what items they want. That a specific color, a little girl might want a purple backpack, and that we have that. So we really try to bake into everything that we do, the dignity piece, the choice piece. And from a mental health perspective, it's obviously with the children, you know, we all know how you feel if you're wearing something and you feel good that day and you look in the mirror and you're like, yeah, I look good today. I'm going to have a good day. And how sometimes when things aren't fitting right, you feel a little down on yourself. You know, a child experiences that as well. But there's also the mental health of the parent. And we hear oftentimes from parents that the biggest thing that we provide, that yes, the clothing and everything else is wonderful, it's the peace of mind. It's the comfort to know that I can give my child something they need and I don't have to worry about it. And that it's one less thing that I have to go to bed every night and be anxious about and worry about.
Now, we have talked about the mission of Cradles to Crayons. We have talked about some of the various factors that go into how the program is administrated. But let's talk about logistically how it works. If you If you are a Cradles to Crayons customer or a person who avails themselves of their services, what can you get? And then how are all of these materials sourced?
So on the, how do you get? So we as an organization don't distribute directly to individuals. Rather, we use our network of service partners. And that ranges from Chicago Public Schools, YMCAs, a lot of the very large nonprofit organizations throughout the city and suburbs. And really that is what that allows is that we know the ecosystem of families who need support are the same. So the families that need the clothing are also the families that need the housing and the food and the utility subsidies. And instead of having them to go in five different organizations, because we provide so much, they can go to just one organization. So that's one way people can access it. For people who want to be part of this and to donate their clothing and their shoes and their coats, we have 50-plus drop-off locations throughout the city and suburbs. We offer a free home pickup. So if you live within our zones, you can go on our website and actually just sign up. And we'll tell you what day we're in your neighborhood and we'll pick it up from your house for free. Don't even need to put it in your trunk and drive around with it for an hour, for a few days, and then forget to put it in. So we make it as easy as possible for people to be able to donate. And then we work with We have a large corporate community that works with us to do drives and collections, a lot of school groups and, you know, fraternities, sororities. We're very fortunate of how the communities have really supported the work that we do.
Now, the one thing that's interesting about the Cradles to Crayons concept is that you are taking on a much larger scale what already exists among new parents, and I always call it the kids, the onesie underground economy. And that is, you know, I have three children at home, and once they grow out of those, you know, three T shirts, pants, coats, and what have you, that you're just waiting for the next person in your life to have a baby, so we can just give you all those boxes of stuff and get it out of our house. And everybody's doing this. I mean, this is happening on blocks and inside families and among friend groups. And you're just taking that concept and blowing it up and also using it to help people who really need it.
Mm-hmm. And for people who don't have connections. I mean, you know, there's a lot of folks that, you know, particularly who are new immigrants to our city. When we had our migrant crisis a couple of years ago, it was amazing how the community everywhere came together to ensure that people who had no connections to us or to the city felt embraced and had the clothing that they needed. So, you know, we're also on the lookout for that. So, you know, where are the pockets of people who are isolated, wouldn't necessarily be able to access another family or just have those social ties? Mm-hmm. And I think that that's one of the things we bring that you can't, you know, that we bring to scale.
You mentioned the migrant crisis from a couple of years ago, and just to refresh everyone's memory, is that was for almost a year, busloads of migrants who were waiting for their asylum claims to be adjudicated were bused from the southern border up to Chicago. Sometimes they were just dropped off in the middle of the night at any time, sometimes in the summer, sometimes in the dead of winter. Mm-hmm. And they were left to fend for themselves. And a logistical network did develop around, you know, helping people as they arrived here. But when we talk about some of the pressures that your organization may be under, do you find yourselves caught in the middle of the larger debate over immigration enforcement, and how can you effectively continue doing what you're doing at a time now where there's a great deal of immigration enforcement that's a lot harsher than it used to be?
Yeah. And, you know, for us, you know, we lean back on our values, and that first and foremost, it's about putting kids first, and it's about putting humanity and the dignity of an individual first. And we, again, we don't screen, we don't ask questions. If someone needs help, we are there to help. It's not our job. It's not our place to deem one individual worthy of an article of clothing and another not. And we really, for us as an organization, that's where we lean into. We lean into kids come first. The work we do is important. And our job is to make sure that everyone, every human being has that dignity and has the ability to choose and to feel comfortable.
You're listening to At Issue on WBBM News Radio. I'm Rob Hart. We are talking about Cradles to Crayons with Executive Director Dawn Melchiori and Janine Thomas, Director of Partnerships and Engagement at Cradles to Crayons. Now, Janine, if you are listening to this program and you're saying to yourself, I want to help out. Mm-hmm. I want to volunteer. This mm-hmm. sounds like a really great opportunity because you mentioned that there are multiple generations of the same family that volunteer for Cradles to Crayons. So, mm-hmm. How can you lend a hand? How can you volunteer?
There are so many ways. So first and foremost, through our Giving Factory. So we run shifts Tuesday through Saturday. We do two shifts, a morning and an afternoon shift. So individuals can head over to our website, cradles2crayons.org/Chicago, or cradles2crayons.org/Chicago, and they can sign up. From there, you can also find other ways to get involved. Individuals host collection drives for us. So that's another way to volunteer your time. You can bring your community organization, your church along with you, or even your job itself. Get your colleagues to join in on hosting a collection drive or hosting one of our box and become a permanent or temporary drop-off location with us. So there are many ways that people can get involved that I would want them to know about Cradles to Crayons.
Now, let's say you're listening to this and you may need help. What can you do?
You actually also can head over to our website. While we don't serve families directly, we do assist them in locating where the services are and where our resources are. So they can either head over to our website. We do have an I Need Services tab or button that they can press on, and they can enter their address and it'll actually populate any of our service partners that are nearby. They can give us a call. They can email us. We will personally connect them to service partners that we know are in their area and that can provide them with resources.
And then we mentioned a little bit about just the robust network of partners that Cradles to Crayons has in the Chicago area. Can you go in depth on that and just talk about just how many partners exist and who are they?
So at present, we've grown the network over the past like 6 or 7 months from about 58 partners to about 90 partners. We will be well within 100, 125 partners over the next 3 months. The need is great. At one point, our wait list had over 190 inquiries from anyone from faith-based institutions, schools, individual schools and school networks, other nonprofits and community-based organizations, community hospitals as well, and foundations.
Now, this question is for Janine or Dawn. We mentioned just some of the unique factors that have kind of come into play, especially in the last year or so, or the last 2 years, with migrants coming to the Chicago area, a lot of recent arrivees utilizing Cradles to Crayons. But what kind of other pressures exist for people who need the program? We've talked a little bit about inflation. Has that really been a driver of need for a lot of parents, especially since inflation took off in 2021?
Yes, absolutely. You know, for one of the biggest needs that we have that we distribute is diapers, for instance. And so it's about $100 to $120 a month to keep a newborn in diapers. And when you think about a family who has had SNAP being either, you know, reduced or completely taken away, that means that they have even fewer dollars. And diapers, for instance, is actually a huge barrier for work because a child can't go into daycare if they don't have the diapers to go to daycare. And so that family member, that caregiver, they miss school, they miss work, and because they can't afford a diaper to send their child to daycare, on top of the public health crisis that it is. But, you know, it's a simple thing. There is no federal program that allows a caregiver to purchase diapers. So SNAP and WIC, you cannot purchase diapers with both of those federal programs. So that leaves a family member, you know, families are just, I what do I do at that point? So that's, you know, one of our biggest needs. Inflation is causing a lot of families who might not have been in that situation where all of a sudden you're looking at school supplies going up another 20%. And you see the list that comes from school, and it could be $400, $500, $600 in order to make sure that your child is ready for school that you absolutely don't have. Are you not going to eat for a week? Are you not going to pay your rent? No, but you're going to, you have to do those things. So then your child is going to have to go to school and be behind because they don't have the right tools. So these are the kind of pressures that we see parents having all the time, and our service providers, because diapers are very expensive. We raise a lot of funds and do a lot of corporate partnerships in order to bring in diapers. We don't have anywhere near enough of what we need, but we know we have to continue to push to be able to get that out into the communities, just to have stable communities, to keep people working, keep people going to school, keep just the regular routine. So, you know, these are all pressures that are happening all at the same time that inflation is piling on top of.
Now, we did talk about opportunities for people to volunteer just a couple of minutes ago. But as we wrap things up on At Issue, if you want to give a gift financially to help buy some diapers, where can you go and what can you do?
Yep. So go to our website, cradlestocrayons.org/Chicago. And on there, there's a great button that says donate now. And obviously, we'd love to have financial donations of any time. We work a lot with corporate partners. We love to bring corporate partners in to come and support the work that we do. There's also, you know, you can donate to purchase different items. You can do a coat drive. You can do a sex and underwear drive. We encourage all of that. We have a great event coming up on July 11th at our Giving Factory, where we are, it'll be part of our delivering 80,000 backpacks full of school supplies this year. So $40 for an adult, $20 for a child. You can come volunteer for 2 hours, pack hundreds of backpacks, and ensure that we have the funds available to get that out. It's a great time, so we encourage everybody to join us.
And then, Janine, very quickly before we go, based on this conversation and your own experience, what is the one thing from a policy perspective that lawmakers are missing when it comes to addressing some of these needs?
You know, that's a little bit outside my expertise, but what I will say, like Dawn mentioned, there is no funding for families to purchase clothing either. TANF is the only cash assistance program that's offered at the federal level, and it is very difficult to qualify for TANF and cash assistance. Outside of that, just like we talked about with diapers, there is no outlet for families to secure clothing, which is a necessity. That is an essential item. And I think a lot of us think of clothing as a fashion sense because majority of us get to wake up and choose what we put on today. But there are many children, especially, that don't get that choice, and their families don't get to make that choice. So I would encourage our policymakers and our lawmakers out there to give this a thought, to consider clothing insecurity as a true silent crisis and see what we can do nationally and in our city to change that and acknowledge that.
Dawn Melchiori, Executive Director of Cradles to Crayons, and Janine Thomas, Director of Partnerships and Engagement at Cradles to Crayons. Thank you for joining us on At Issue. If you want to hear the program again, you can do so at WBBMNewsRadio.com, the Odyssey app, and the iHeartRadio app. Join us next week for another edition of At Issue. Until then, I'm Rob Hart, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.